welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. And now, here is your host, an author in her own right, Joanne L. Trombley.
Thank you for joining us. It's an honor to introduce you to Sharon Heagle, author of A Clear Range of Vision, a sharply written novel of transformation, love, and romance. The central character, artist Lacey Holmes, is a woman escaping from the narrow confines of her abusive world. On vacation at her friend's cottage in New England for 6 months, she intends to milk every second, bend the borders of time, and have a real vacation from everything. Haunted by her past, Lacey is on a journey home to herself. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Joanne.
A Clear Range of Vision is an inspiring read, written through the main character, Lacey. What inspired you to take the reader into her deep and intense personal journey?
I don't know. I wanted to write it from her perspective. I thought it would be interesting to see the turmoil that someone goes through trying to escape from a situation like that. And it's not so much escaping the physical as it is her own demons, the things that keep her trapped. So I just thought it would be interesting to explore that sort of thing from her point of view.
Oh, and it's so exciting because you bring us into it and help us explore. The book explores the many facets of a woman and a man's courage to transcend fear, to transform, to step forward. What motivated you to write about this emotionally challenging subject matter?
Well, the issue of abuse never seems to go away. I mean, during my lifetime, we've had the women's movements and, you know, this whole idea of women fulfilling themselves and so on. And yet, you get two or three or five women together, and invariably there's some woman who has a story to tell. And it often has to do with being in a situation that's not unlike Lacey's. And the thing that surprises me about it is these are women that otherwise appear to be professional. They appear to be well adjusted, and in other situations are in control of things. And yet, somehow or other, when it becomes a personal relationship, or if they have that kind of vulnerability, they don't seem capable of getting out of that. They don't seem. It's like they're in a hole and they can't get out of it. And just the whole concept fascinated me, and the fact that the issue never goes away. You know, you ask yourself, when do we learn? You know, there are men who are in abusive situations as well, but, you know, what is that power that one person holds over another?
That's interesting, because you wonder if it's nurture, if it's nature, if... What is it?
I don't know.
And we don't know yet, do we?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean... You know, you can do a lot. I mean, I did a lot of research for the book, and there is a component of women's personality where they want to cure the guy, you know, so they end up with this essentially a loser, but they feel that they can help him find his way. They're going to not necessarily cure him, but help him cure himself, and in the process they lose themselves.
Very interesting. You know, it's sort of the slight reverse of that, but I think it's the same diff, and maybe probably from the male perspective, that there are some men who want to be the knight in shining armor,
uh-huh,
you know,
exactly,
and
yeah.
So they find a damsel in distress. The problem is the damsel is always in distress.
Uh-huh.
You know, she finds something else to be distressed about, so uh-huh. it's something that affects maybe both of us, the men and the women.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I didn't want the Graydon character to be the knight in shining armor. I needed for Lacey to find her own way. And I tried to make the Graydon character the kind of man who allowed her the freedom to do that. And I never intended that he was going to fix her. She had to fix herself. And if he was still around at the end of that process, that was a nice, you know, a
that
bonus.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
If he was.
If he was.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to let that out.
No. And, you know, people say to me, you know, why would he be interested in her? I mean, he's got so much. You know, he's successful and he's independent and he's a public figure to a large extent. And, you know, that to me is an interesting thing because we often meet couples and we say, what in the world does he see in her? Or vice versa, what does she see in him? And how do you explain the dynamics of that attraction that people have for each other, you know? Particularly when it doesn't appear to me to be dysfunctional. I don't think he's that knight, you know. I don't think he goes around looking for people to help. I think he was just attracted to her, and she came with this baggage, you know. And he was willing to stick it out until she found her way through it. So I kind of like that idea.
So do I. And, I mean, that was a good segue because the book is a personal journey. But what a message of hope. I truly feel that. So, Sharon, what do you hope the reader will take with them after they've finished reading the book?
I think the idea that we are our own saviors, that we have the ability to find our way. We just have to open ourselves to ourselves, to trust ourselves, and to believe that we ultimately can bring about whatever changes we want to bring about in our life. And that you do. The other thing I wanted to say too was, a lot of women that come through a situation like this become confined and enclosed and distrustful of people, and particularly of men. They blame men for, you know, they just don't trust men in general. And I wanted her to be open and to become whole and not go through life kind of wonky, you know. And that's my view of a lot of women who come through something like that. They're not quite whole. And that's a difficult thing to achieve. So that's what I hope for Lacey, that, and anyone who reads the book, just to understand that her journey is her journey, but we all have journeys.
Yes.
And we all have to find our ways to wherever it is we're going. And if you can do it with someone beside you, that's nice, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I would like to think that, that you know, there were things that Lacey learned through her relationship with Graydon, but I also like to feel that she would ultimately have made the journey. She just had someone to enjoy with it on along the way. You
know? Yes, and actually at the start of the book, this is exactly what she's setting out to do. And he, and with, we don't want to give too much away because it's just such a wonderful story, but she does set out on her own. You know, she's amazing. And so the depth of Lacey's transformation in this book to me is amazing. And going along with what you're talking about, but what sources or resources did you look into in exploring spousal abuse survival?
Well, I looked a lot into the spousal abuse, but in terms of the Lacey character, I actually studied, I researched post-traumatic stress syndrome, because essentially that's what women who come through something like that are suffering, the same things that Vietnam vets or anybody who survives a war or any horrible situation, you carry that baggage with you. And that's the baggage she's carrying with her. And it hits, in the story, it hits her sometimes when she's least expecting it. And, you know, I actually worked with a Vietnam vet when I was living in the States who suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And one of the things that I found very fascinating about it was, it wasn't that it was on his mind all the time. It was just he'd be doing something and he would get a flash. And that's what happens to Lacey. Just all of a sudden something hits her from the side and it undermines her. She thinks she's in control. She thinks her life is all together. And then these things keep coming up.
Wow. Well, I just think it's absolutely amazing. You know, we take that journey with her through the book. We approach her, or you approach her in the book, so as the reader we do through her eyes. And she is an artist as well. So, it's quite amazing. And talking about artists, the book, the setting takes place in a small town called Harbor Point in Maine. And gosh, you brought me there. How beautiful. I mean, I can even see the buildings, the wharf, the beach with the rock. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But why did you choose New England for the setting?
Well, I lived in New England for 12 years, and there's just something attractive about it. And there's that stability to it. It's one of the oldest locations in America. So you have these old houses and this kind of feeling that it's been around forever. And I just felt she needed something like that. You know, she needed an environment that appeared to be stable. But the other thing that I find interesting is, she, as an artist, she was fascinated with the ocean and with the movement of the ocean, and she was always trying to capture that in her art. And for her, her art is her salvation, really. It's the way that she begins to find herself. Even though she's been an artist for years, she now has the freedom to pursue it in ways she never could before. And she finds that as she's in New England, her art is changing. And she realizes that those changes are reflections of the changes that are taking place in her. And the question is whether she has the courage to continue to, in essence, expose herself to what she can be. So I just thought the art was a nice metaphor for that blossoming that she was going through.
I think it was wonderful, and it certainly brought me there. And you know, so many artists, that's their art is an expression. Doesn't matter what their artistry is, whether it's a writer, uh-huh. as you are, a photographer, a painter. Uh-huh. I think we explore ourselves, and we explore how we see the world, uh-huh. or maybe how we hope to see the world.
Uh-huh.
Through our art, mm-hmm. and you certainly achieve that with Lacey.
And you know, the other thing that I find interesting is the medium that she chose, which is watercolor, and the idea that, you know, had she chosen oil paint, you can control the oil a whole lot easier than you can control the watercolor. And I thought it was kind of interesting that she would choose a medium when she's trying so hard to control her life, that she would choose a medium that had a fickleness to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, that expressed again the idea that she was open to change, and she was open to the unexpected. I just don't think she knew it.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And if we think of water, I mean, that's an element of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
here she was working with this basic element of the planet, you mm-hmm. know.
And then trying to capture it in her art.
Yeah.
I find that kind of ironic.
This was a part of an exciting thing for me, reading the book. But in a number of scenes, Lacey experiences sexual tension
uh-huh.
in a way that, well, tingles senses, certainly tingled my senses. So bearing this imagery in mind, was romantic exploration one of your goals when you sat down to write the book?
I don't think so, but what I did feel that... if Lacey experienced anything, it would have to come to her indirectly, because she wasn't looking for anything, and she was afraid of, you know, she'd been trapped before. She fell in love with this man, and she gave herself to him in effect, which is kind of a cliche expression, but she made his life her life, and she disappeared into that relationship. So she wasn't really looking for a relationship, but the fact that... It came to her physically, which I thought was kind of interesting, because you think about, you know, being attracted to somebody, but for her it was visceral. You know, she was responding to him in ways that frightened her. You know, she wasn't looking for that, and she didn't want to be trapped by it. So she had to break it down and analyze it and then take a chance on it. And that's a courageous thing to do. There's a line in the book where she says she doesn't understand, and you see it on TV all the time where people go out and date and 20 minutes later in bed with each other. But for her, going to bed with someone, was having sex with someone, was some form of a commitment, and I think a lot of women feel that way. But for her, it was particularly important to her that she understand that, and that she didn't sell her soul for that.
And we're just going to step away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you begun work on your next novel? Because I'm really excited for the next novel. So what can readers expect?
Well, unfortunately, I'm kind of at a crossroads, because I have two stories that I want to write, and I know that I can't do them simultaneously. So I'm going to have to focus on one of them. One of them takes place in the late 1800s, and it takes place around the area where I live. And I've been doing some research in the area, and it's fascinating to me what that area was like in the late 1800s. You know, little towns that are just little dots on the map now, and, you know, three houses and a post box or something. They used to be thriving communities in the late 1800s. So, you know, people lived very differently then. And I just think that whole idea is kind of fascinating. So that's one of them. I mean, that's just sort of the setting for the story. But the other one is a bit more of an adventure story, you know, with a photographer, female photographer, who gets herself in a situation, again, because of her art. So I don't know. I'm going to have to make up my mind which way to go one day. Or maybe I could do, you know, chapter on one and a chapter on the other. I mean, they're totally different stories. So we'll see.
Oh, fascinating journey. You're on your own journey here.
Well, you know, and I have some business things I'd like to do. So, you know, there are a lot of balls to juggle.
Yes.
So we'll see how it works out.
Oh, well, I'm very excited for the next novel to come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are president of the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for aspiring authors?
I guess my advice would be twofold. It would be write from your heart. Don't aim for a market, because by the time you get your story done, the market could be gone. So I think you have to be true to the story that you want to tell. But in this day and age, because the whole publishing business is changing so much, I think you also have to put some effort into understanding the business of writing. Because if you don't understand that it is a business, yes, you have to be creative to be part of it. But you also have to put your business hat on at some point and understand that if you want to advance, you are going to be doing the bulk of the work. So, you know, there aren't too many people who have an instant hit and an instant success. And for the rest of the writers out there, it's work. So that's my advice. Make sure that you wear both hats if you want to be successful.
Oh, boy. Very good. Very good advice. Now, how can a reader contact you and purchase their very own copy of A Clear Range of Vision?
Probably send me an email. That would be the best thing. Sharon with a Y, Sharyn, underscore 40, that's 40, at yahoo.com. That would be the best way.
Wonderful. Well, Sharon, I think we could talk for a lot longer, but we have our time coming up. So I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
And it's been a pleasure.
And for me as well.
I cheered and feared along with Lacey, and it had to do with her strength and determination to survive and transcend spousal abuse. She must balance her violent past with her journey to self-enlightenment and the hope that the mysterious beach house neighbor, Graydon Scott, introduces to her life. Pressed between the pages, Lacey's journey to empowerment touches and penetrates the reader.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. Your host has been Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne is a personal coach, artist, photographer, broadcaster, and author of the Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 Tools for Personal and Professional Growth and Development. The Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at your local bookstore, Chapters, or can be ordered online using Joanne's website at www.potentialsmanagement.com. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.